Give me your heart, give me your heart, give me your heart, give me your heart. Welcome to Give Me Your Heart. I'm Margie Campbell, Christian wife, mom, and musician. This is a space where I offer encouragement to women in all walks of life who desire to grow closer to the Lord, and especially moms and grandmas who are discipling young children. I am so glad you're here. It is January 2nd, 2024. And today is my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be spending some of it with you. We're still on Christmas break, and you're not busy and back at school and all those things. I got to get away for some time with Dad this morning. We went to a little diner and had breakfast, and then to my favorite coffee shop, where I worked on transcribing some music scores for scripture songs.
So lots of your favorite things.
Yes, and Dad just sat and drank his coffee and did not talk to me. I love our big, loud family, and I love all the constant conversations and nonstop activity, but it makes me cherish the moments of solitude where I can work, and he's right there when I'm ready to grab a bite to eat, or one of the boys texts him, and I get to be privy to whatever they've got going on during the day.
Yeah, because I'm always talking to you throughout the day, but the guys always text Dad.
Most definitely. So I got to be included in some of that today. It was just a special time. We didn't leave our little small town. It's not really our town, but it's the nearest neighboring town to our zip code out here in the middle of nowhere. We just went from cafe to coffee shop to library. We made the rounds. We went to an afternoon lunch spot, and we enjoyed being quiet together. And it was all made possible by you, big sister, who held the fort down for the day. Take a second to introduce yourself.
Well, I am Mary Caroline, or Sissy, as I'm commonly called. I am 18, almost 19. I will be 19 in February. I am the oldest girl, and I'm getting ready to go back for my second semester of college. I am studying business and music, specifically violin performance. I have been studying violin since I was 4. I love Jesus. I was baptized when I was 16, and I am so happy to be here co-hosting with my mom.
Yes.
I know this podcast has been a long time coming, and I'm really excited to see where God's going to take it.
Yes. Well, you are our oldest girl, third oldest child, definitely very musical. We are a musical family and have had a family music ministry since... Oh my, well,
forever.
Yeah. I've never not done music ministry in one form or another since I started playing piano for worship in like sixth grade. And one by one, as you kids came along, you just each joined in. It became Give Me Your Heart with an official name and website in the summer of 2015.
Mm-hmm. That's when we did our first CD, our only CD. And it was really more of a demo.
Yes, it was. Yeah. It was a project, kind of a demo of our scripture songs to be presented to some companies. But then life just went off the rails.
Yeah, as life typically does.
Absolutely. It's better just to anticipate that the next trial is coming, right? Well, we recorded our CD in actually this time of year, right after mm-hmm. the new year in 2015. We worked on our website all winter and spring, started our blog. Podcasts weren't something that ordinary folks just produced way back then, at least not us. And the very weekend our website went live, a series of events occurred in very rapid succession. So first, on Saturday, Dad and I realized that we were pregnant, and that baby was Nathaniel. That was our eighth baby. He is now 7. The second thing that happened was on Monday of that week, Dad started a new job as a welding foreman. And it was just a lot of responsibility and extra stress and a new just routine and schedule for him. And then third, on Tuesday afternoon, Michaela, who was 4 years old at the time, had a seizure during her nap time. And Dalton, that's our oldest son, found her really lethargic. She had rolled off of her mattress, which was on the floor, and she had vomited. It's a long story, but because of the very non-typical epilepsy she was later diagnosed with, we didn't realize for several hours that she was in the middle of a very long seizure. And by the time we did, her brain was so stuck that it became a very life and death situation that involved transport by helicopter to the children's hospital in the closest large city, which at that time was Pittsburgh.
Yeah. And we were living on the road for Dad's job and right. several states away from grandparents and family. So we were just home with Dalton and right. so friends from the community, right. the church and the homeschool group that had basically adopted us right. got to the house.
Yes. And those same friends were trying to help me get to the hospital in Pittsburgh where Dad had flown with Michaela. It was just very tense for a few hours, but the body of Christ showed up so, so strongly that day, and the peace of Christ truly did, as the Bible says, it passed all understanding, and it kept us calm. Our pastor was there immediately, and our women's group was meeting that Tuesday night and was actually in prayer at the very moment we started calling for help. So some of them left to come to us, and the others were immediately praying. When we got to the emergency room, I carried Michaela in. I was running and yelling that she was having a seizure. And this wonderful nurse just went right into action. And they actually had to drill into her leg with a power drill, just like Dad would use, like a DeWalt black and yellow drill. And they administered medicine to stop her from seizing. And I'm sure our nurse friends that are listening are used to these things, but I was, let me assure you, not at all aware that this was normal procedure. The ER staff was, just to be transparent, they were pretty angry with me because I had let her seize for so long. And in retrospect, I realize they see lots of negligence and ignorance, and it just breaks their hearts. But we had no idea that she was seizing until several hours. I don't know about several, but we were hours into this process before she actually started to convulse.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe share the things Michaela did that weren't normal signs, just to right. educate other moms and grandmas about what you learned.
Very important. Sure. So when we found her, she had vomited and was pretty lethargic, but this was normal for Michaela, because she had done this a few times before throughout her toddler and preschool years. I'm not saying like a lot, once or twice, maybe not once or twice, maybe two, maybe three times where she had vomited and nobody else had gotten sick, like we had the stomach flu or something. But I did what I always do. I got her clothes off, took her to the tub for a warm bath, clean her up, comfort her. But she was really lethargic. And she was awake and aware, but wouldn't follow simple instructions like, okay, sit up, sis, let's get the soap off, let's rinse your hair or whatever. And she was four, so even with a really upset tummy, she should have been able to stand up on her own so I could help her get out of the tub and into a towel, things like that. I remember while I was getting her dressed, she began picking at the air with her thumb and pointer finger.
Like pinching?
Yes, exactly. Like pinching at the air in front of her face and making a very slight chewing motion with her mouth. And that was actually something I did not notice as it was happening. But later at the children's hospital, they began listing signs and symptoms, and they were so kind at the children's hospital because I guess in initial epilepsy diagnoses, mm-hmm. this happens a lot. That people don't realize their very small child has some kind of seizure condition. And so they began listing signs and symptoms, and I recognized that she had been doing something with her mouth. And it was so slight that without it being pointed out, I wouldn't have recognized it. Well, I think after all the shock and the experience wore off, I probably would have thought back over that afternoon and maybe thought about it. But anyhow, while it was happening, I couldn't really call Dad and expect him to come home from this brand new job because somebody vomited. I mean, at the time we had 6 kids and somebody, well, as Grandma always says, if a Campbell kid is not puking, just hang on because we get car sick, all kinds of things. So anyway, I did call him because the whole thing was just kind of weird, even for Michaela, who had this habit of being pretty lethargic after throwing up. But never anything like this with the picking. And so Dad was headed home anyway. It was that time of day. He got there and he held her on his lap and I just went and got supper going. I went to check on them at one point, and of course he had a bowl on his lap, like dads everywhere, and when somebody's throwing up. And he was reading something on his phone with his right hand, and he had her cradled in his left arm. And I got down in front of them to kind of look into her face and talk to her for a second, and I noticed her left eyebrow start to twitch. And it rhythmically started to twitch very slowly. It moved down the side of her face, and then her left arm began twitching. And it was just like this immediate recognition. And I realized that she's mm-hmm. having a seizure. And yeah. So I jumped into action.
Yeah, and I remember that moment. Like, it got scary very quickly. You all were out the door and yelling instructions and headed to the ER. Right,
absolutely. Well, Dad didn't move fast enough for my liking. Mama Bear was on a mission, and I was going to take out anything between me and getting my baby some help. And we did get her help, but the meds they gave her to stop the seizure took her heart rate really low. Mm. And then we had a new problem that she could not come back out of the the medication that they had given her. It was then that all of my adrenaline wore off, and I saw her lying there, possibly needing to be intubated, and that the nurses were saying it was my fault for not coming soon enough. And I just began to sob that it was all my fault. Our pastor, he's such a good friend and all around nice guy. He was calm. And of course, Dad is always calm. And he held me, and I calmed down so quickly, and I am not always calm. So this was obviously the peace of Christ. And we could not put Michaela on the helicopter until she was awake. And she didn't have to be totally coherent, but she did have to be awake. And we had been memorizing the first chapter of the book of James as a family that spring and summer. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. I mean, I know you remember that. It was a huge part of our lives back then. And I stood over her. And Dad was on one side and I was on the other, and we were kind of just stroking her head, and we just kept repeating the first book of James over and over again. And of course, there's that famous passage, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." And we are just softly saying these scriptures that she has heard over and over for weeks and weeks. And all of a sudden, her sweet little voice said, "Mommy." And we just jumped because the flight team and the nurses that had been around us, they jerked into action and were literally moving her just like that, like out from underneath us, out the door, onto the helicopter. And they whisked her and Dad away, and I was standing there alone, very newly pregnant, unable to have flown with her, and I'm sure I was probably in shock.
But it all turned out okay.
It did, yes. Praise God, it all turned out. And she's now 12 and as precious and beautiful and sweet as any 12-year-old girl has ever been. But she does have and has had many challenges, and our lives changed a lot when we got home from the hospital.
Mm-hmm. And the website and the Give Me Your Heart ministry all got put way on hold.
Oh, screeching halt. Like, I immediately got really sick, which I always do, and stayed sick for several months with Nathaniel's pregnancy. And then in January, the Lord led us to move back to our farm in Missouri. And Nathaniel was born in March, and that was almost 8 years ago. He'll mm-hmm. be, yeah, he'll be eight yeah. in March.
And you've had how many babies since then?
Five. Three born in heaven, two born here, where we've been so blessed just to cherish them and love them and enjoy them in our old age.
Yeah, it's been a lot of work, but so much blessing to have those two tag along babies.
Yes. So Silas is 5 and Maggie is 3. And today I am 47. So probably Maggie is the baby of our babies. People always ask, like literally always, everywhere we go, mm-hmm. are you going to have another baby? And Maggie isn't actually the baby. We had a baby born in heaven this past spring. And we trust the Lord with the timing of our babies. So if he sends another, we will gladly accept him or her for as long as we're allowed the privilege, whether that is a few months in my womb or really however long Father determines. He is truly the author of life, and each of our days are held in his hand. Each day is a gift, and I am so grateful for the days he has given me with my babies, and I look forward to spending eternity with the sweet little babies I have yet to meet face to face.
That's beautiful. Thank you for giving me life.
Yeah.
Give me lots of brothers and sisters to be sissy to. It's a joy and a privilege.
Well, it's a joy and a privilege to be mom, and so many don't get that opportunity. And I'm grateful for every new day that God gives me his mercy and strength to very imperfectly love and serve our family. And I want to give him something back, but he is God. I mean, he's God. The more you learn about God, the closer you get to him, the smaller you are. And there's nothing I can do for him or give him to repay him for all he's done for me through his gift of salvation. And that's okay, because God doesn't want anything from me. All I have that he could ever want is my heart.
And that's what this podcast and the entire Give Me Your Heart ministry is all about.
Yes. Our tagline for Give Me Your Heart is a Proverbs 23 ministry. And it's based on the scripture, Proverbs 23:26, which says, "Give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways." And that's what God as a father wants from us. He just wants us to love him and delight in him. If we as women can truly chill out enough to... Why are you laughing? Am I not chill all the time? Are you not chill? Are our lady friends not chill? That is a bad look you're giving me. If we can relax, calm down, chill out enough to delight in our Father, truly delight in him, that's enough. It's enough. I think one thing that comes up, though, is the question of what does it mean to delight? And the Hebrew word is rotsaw, which I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but I do like to know what I'm learning about and reading about. So we do look these words up, and we look up root words. And the Old Testament is written in Hebrew. And the original word is pronounced rotsaw, and it means, among other things, to be pleased with, to set our affection on, to enjoy.
Wow.
Yes. So God is saying, let your eyes enjoy me, or set your affections on me, or another way, delight in me. I believe with all my heart that if we as women get to a place where our greatest delight in life is being in relationship with Father God, enjoying his presence throughout the day, having a joyful countenance and a happy heart, no matter our circumstances, then our children are going to catch that joy. They're going to desire that delight. Give Me Your Heart's purpose is to help Christians, and especially Christian families, make disciples at home. And as we begin to restart the public side of this ministry, because this ministry never stopped in real life, we've been doing all these things in our home and our circle and our concerts. We just put all of the media on hold while we did life. But we'll be sharing resources and practical tips for helping parents and grandparents build discipling relationships with the children in their lives. But I think delighting in God ourselves is the most powerful tool in discipling our children. It means we're really not working on discipling our children as much as we're working on our own spiritual life. Before I can expect my child to give me his heart, before I can expect my child to give his heart to God, as a mom, I have to give God my heart.
And that really ties back into those verses we memorized from James that you were quoting over Michaela in the ER. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials.
Oh, 100%, Sissy. 100%. When we are so in tune with the Father's presence that he causes us to be content and calm and not necessarily happy and giddy. I am not a happy, giddy person at all. I'm talking about contentment, about being under control with your emotions, mm-hmm. no matter what the day throws at us.
And with five boys, sometimes things literally get thrown.
Yes, literally get thrown. So whatever gets thrown my way, I can roll it on to Christ. And he promises in his word that he will help me carry the load. He will help me carry the burden of the day. And hiding scripture in my heart has been the number one way I have been able to abide or stay in the presence, keep my mind stayed on the Father during very, very busy and trying days of raising children and being pregnant and being a wife to a guy with a very demanding job. I found out early on that putting scripture to music allowed me to recall it instantly and get it from my heart and mind to my lips. Because when I'm in a mood or trying to fight an attitude, I cannot just think the right thought. I have to say it out loud. In the Psalms, David is constantly talking to his own soul. You know, why are you down, my soul? Or he's commanding his soul. So I have to counsel myself sometimes really sternly, like loudly and repeatedly. It's kind of like yanking myself around by the ponytail, per se.
Yes, you're definitely a strong-willed mama.
Or maybe weak-willed, depending on how you look at it. It's a weak thing to not be able to have self-control. That calling people strong-willed as a good thing, I don't. I think there's a twist on that for the Christian.
Yeah.
And a fruit of the Spirit is to be self-controlled. And so if I cannot control my spirit, then I'm actually a weak-willed woman, not a strong-willed mm-hmm. woman at all. And I definitely have a harder time than most keeping my tongue inside my mouth and my lips tightly together.
Well, I can personally attest to how these scripture songs have been instrumental in my life as a teaching and training tool. Would you sing the song from James?
Oh, goodness. Well, I would love to. We've had quite the sinus stuff going on over Christmas break.
Yeah.
So, let me swallow here. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete. Lacking in nothing, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials.
And I used to get kind of worked up like in the middle. Knowing that the testing of your faith mm-hmm. produces endurance.
You know, and I kind of sing that like two or three times, like 80s rock song, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like power ballad. But it is, it, you know, I do. It gets my mood. It changes my perspective. And the kids begin to laugh, or it becomes kind of silly.
Mm-hmm.
Or just, you know, mom singing around the house. It makes me think of Aunt Jo when she used to, like with the girls, she would be like, "You can't always get what you want." And just like in her way of telling them, yeah, it's not going to happen. I said no, and I'm trying not to get angry with you because you keep, you know, I said no. And the girls knew when Aunt Jo started singing, that was a hard no. But she did it in a sweet, funny, playful way. Mm-hmm. And that definitely works, not just when you're telling a child no. It helps when you're telling your own spirit no.
Yeah.
And jerking yourself by the ponytail and saying, that's enough. Mm-hmm. That's enough. I can hear me saying that to Maggie, my 3-year-old. That's enough. And we need to talk to ourselves like that.
Mm-hmm. And that scripture is so beautiful and powerful. And we need it on the tips of our tongues, because we most definitely will encounter trials, various trials.
Various. And the fight of our life as women of faith is to endure those trials with joy, to love our families well. And if we are single women or women without children, to love those children whom God has entrusted to us in our circle with consistent and steady joy that trusts in God in every situation. Mm.
Amen.
Amen. Well, that's a good place to wrap this up for today.
So do you have a little sneak peek of what we're going to talk about next time?
I do. I'd really like to go into some of the practical ways that we memorize scripture, that mm-hmm. we do family devotions, the ways that we schedule things around here to be intentional and get everything done, because the busyness of life crowds all of this out. And I know that the number one question moms ask me in real life is, how in the world do you get any of this done? Mm-hmm. And we live on a farm. It's a very small farm. We're not full-time farmers, but we live a very, very down-to-earth, dirt-filled,
definitely
practical life. And we live in the show-me state. And it's very much show me what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Don't just tell me. So that's where I would like to go. I want moms and grandmas and big sisters and aunts and women who might be able to start an after-school club or a Saturday morning club in their neighborhood to have some tools to be able to disciple the children that are in their lives.
That sounds great. And mom?
Yes.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Let's go get some of that cake Dad made. I'm thinking that's a good idea.
Oh yeah.
And let's tell our sound guy thanks. Thanks, oh, yeah. Charlie. Thank you. We appreciate you. All right. Until next time, give God your heart, ladies.